May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 245. We travel through a barren land, with dangers thick on every hand. But Jesus guides us through the veil, the Christian's hope can never fail. Hymn 245. Read together from the Word of God, from the Gospel according to John, and reading from chapter 16. The Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this, that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May the Lord bless that word of his truth to us and help us to call upon him at the throne of grace. O Lord, merciful, kind, and gracious, we come before thee, Lord, and seek to bow our unworthy heads before thee and seek that real and true attitude of worship, prayer, praise to thy name. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come in the midst of us according to thy word and thy promise. And if thou wilt be pleased to minister to us each all needed help and grace, that we might seek thee and serve thee and worship at thy feet in sincerity and in truth, and that thou wilt be pleased to lift up our heads before thee in that true worship, adoration of thy name, and that we may be brought again as dependents upon thee, trusting in thee, Lord, that thou wilt appear unto each one of us, and that thy blessing, thy favour, and thy mercies may be upon and towards us in thy word, in thy truth, and in thy gospel. And Lord, that we may each this time know what it is to be so favoured and blessed that thou wilt be pleased to come and speak unto each one of us the words of this life, or the precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ, or those precious words that truly show and reveal and manifest thy love and mercy to sinners. And that love and mercy to sinners is through thy cross, Lord. Oh, to know the truth and the blessing that it is truly at Calvary where thou dost show thyself in all the beauty, all the glory of thy love to sinners, in that thou should lay down thy life for them. Oh, the wondrous truth of the gospel, that thou, Lord, didst come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a mercy, Lord, it is to feel our lost and our ruined state by nature, but to know the truth and the mercy that found again, lost and is found, and, O Lord, dead and is made alive again. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that that may be the mercy known and felt in each of our hearts this day, being again shown and revealed that way of salvation in Jesus, that way of salvation through thy cross, and to be revealed that thou, Lord, shouldest come and to be found in the room and the place of the sinner is the mercy. Oh, we do pray, Lord. Lord, it is a wondrous truth to know thee, Lord, to know thee through the word, the preaching of the gospel, to know thee, Lord, as we sit before thee, ready to hear thy word through thy Spirit, to know thee, Lord, as that one who did come into this world to seek out and to save lost sinners, but to know thee, Lord, in and through the merits of that and the, of thy person and the merits of the cross at Calvary, is a most glorious and wondrous truth. For, Lord, it was there that all the sins of thy people were put away, washed away forever. And, O Lord, we do pray that there shall not be one soul here, eldest to the youngest, that shall be left, Lord, in darkness and ignorance of their great need of one to save and to redeem them. And we prayerfully, Lord, bear each poor soul up before thee at this time, that thou wilt be pleased to appear in the riches of thy grace and preach that full and free salvation into the souls of sinners, if it will be thy gracious will. O Lord, we do pray then, help us to wait upon thee, that we might be ready to hear and to receive thy word. And Lord, we do pray, thank thee that thy word shall not return unto thee void. Oh, but that, Lord, thou wilt be pleased to take that word and to prosper it whereto thou wilt send it. And Lord, we do pray that it may enter into each of our poor souls, a word in season, a word in faith, and a word in love, and through thy Spirit, and that it may lead our poor souls to a precious Christ who came to seek and to save lost sinners. O Lord, be pleased to be present with us. Then, Lord, we pray. We thank thee, Lord, for this day. And we thank thee, Lord, for the opportunity to be enabled to gather together in thy name. And we pray, Lord, that it may be a good time and a profitable time to us, Lord. Visit each soul in thy salvation, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that if thou wilt be pleased to appear for us this day, oh, be pleased to leave some token, some word in season, Lord, some witness that we have been with Jesus this day. Oh, Lord, leave us not to depart from the courts of thy house this day without something, Lord, from thee, without, Lord, that thou wilt come and speak to us, without some leading and guiding, Lord, by thy Spirit, into the most blessed and glorious truths of thy gospel grace. Oh, be pleased, Lord, this day to draw near to each one of us. And, Lord, if there be any, Lord, that appear, Lord, neglectful or perhaps careless, Lord, regarding their never-dying immortal souls, oh, Lord, be pleased to come and be the teacher, Lord. Show to them, Lord, thy word, that what if he should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Oh, we do pray, Lord, that the importance and the great need, Lord, of thy salvation may be set before each one of us. Be pleased, Lord, not to leave anyone destitute, Lord, of this most glorious truth. Lord, to know thee and him and Christ crucified. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to open the hearts of sinners, that thou didst open the heart of Lydia. Oh, that she was made ready, she was made prepared, Lord, to hear and to receive thy word. And she was a seeker, Lord. She was a seeker, Lord, at the throne of grace. She was praying in that little place down by the riverside. And, Lord, thou didst send thy minister to her. And, Lord, oh, what mercy was found. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to appear unto each one of us, for that she rejoiced in thy salvation and was blessed. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear, Lord, and in thy rich mercy, seeking to save sinners. Be pleased to be with us then, Lord, this day. We wait upon thee, Lord, and that thou wilt prepare each of our hearts, Lord, for thyself. And as we journey forth, Lord, that we may have those further tokens, Lord, of thy visitations to us. Oh, we need, Lord, as we journey forth, Lord, to be upheld and to be kept and preserved in spirit and in power. For, O Lord, of ourselves, Lord, we can do nothing. And without thee, we can do nothing, thou hast said. But, O Lord, if we are bound up truly as branches in that living vine, then, O Lord, oh, the blessing to bear fruit unto righteousness, to know that we're enjoined and entwined in the blessed Lord Jesus, and all our fruits shall flow forth from him to us. All his fruits shall flow forth from him to us is our mercy. And so, Lord, we do pray, come to our help, Lord. Come to our need, Lord, whatever it may be at this time. Thou hast heard the prayers and the petitions of thy people in the pews of thy house. Be pleased to be prayer hearing and prayer answering, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt have all the glory and the praise. And so we thank thee, Lord, for the faithful witness of the truth of the gospel in this vicinity and in this thy house of prayer. And we do pray, Lord, that our worship may be to the honour and the glory of thy great and holy name. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be a building up, Lord, of sinners in this thy house of prayer, Lord. Those gathered in, Lord, those whose names are ordained to eternal life, we pray thee. Oh, do come, Lord, and show forth thy gracious power, Lord, in changing hearts, renewing sinners, Lord. It is only thou, Lord, through thy spirit and power, that is able to give that a new heart and put thy spirit within them and humble them, and, Lord, that they might be brought to see and to feel their need of a Saviour. O Lord, we do pray, O that we may see thy work of grace continuing, Lord, in this dark and evil day in which we live. And so be pleased to come, Lord. Be with each one of us, Lord. Be with us in our families. Be with, Lord, our children, our children's children, Lord. We prayerfully bear them up before thee, Lord. And we prayerfully commit, Lord, our young and children before thee in this thy house, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldest show thy mercy, Lord, in respect of them, and even the very visitation, Lord, of their presence in this thy house. Be pleased to use the means, Lord, to hold them in a secret power, Lord, a silent and secret power, Lord, in their souls, that they might be led forth, Lord, and to understand, Lord, that there is a God, and a God to be worshipped, and a God to be praised, and that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be pleased, Lord, to lead them gently on, Lord, and that they might know thee, we pray thee, in thy salvation. So, Lord, we pray, hear us in these things. And we do pray, Lord, then that the gospel may be preached and proclaimed this day. Be pleased to help each one of thy sent servants to stand forth upon the walls of Zion and to preach thine everlasting gospel. Help them, Lord, to comfort Zion, to comfort thy people, Lord, or to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, Lord, to preach the gospel unto the poor, we pray thee, Lord, this day, to uphold them and strengthen them spiritually and inwardly in that new man of grace. We pray thee, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, come to thy poor afflicted people, Lord, here below. And lift us up, Lord. Lift us up before thee, Lord. Bring us near to thee, Lord. Let us feel, Lord, a union and communion with thee, Lord. We pray thee. And so, Lord, do come to each one of us. And may we feel that belonging to thee, Lord. That sweetest union, Lord, that subsists between thyself and thy people. That my beloved is mine and I am his. Lord, we want to feel it, Lord. We want to know, Lord, as we journey forth, that we are thine, that thou art ours, in ties of blood, Lord. Oh, do, Lord, confirm us again, Lord. We're poor things in and of ourselves. And, Lord, thou knowest the besetting sins. Thou knowest the wicked and deceitful hearts. Thou knowest the body of death. Thou hast heard our prayers and petitions. Thou hast heard our cries before thee, Lord. Oh, be pleased, Lord, to come to us. Deliver us, Lord, we thank thee, for the glorious advocate appointed for sinners to be one to show forth peace and pardon for them. So we thank thee, Lord, for the mercy. Be with us now, Lord. Help thy servant to speak in thy name, thy word. Show him what to say and lead him into thy truth and teach by thy spirit and open the hearts of thy people to hear and to receive. And may thou be revealed to each one of us, Lord, this time. Send none empty away from the means of grace. And we plead our cause before thee, Lord. And so we ask these things, seeking the pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, through that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
Oh,
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to John chapter 16 and reading from verse 7 by way of a text. Gospel according to John chapter 16, reading from verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Lord Jesus now teaching his disciples those things that he is preparing them to do in the preaching of the gospel. And he warned them that as they went forth in his name, that there would be those that would enter into afflictions and troubles, and that yes, they were shown in a very clear way. Whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And that came to pass, that their lives were ultimately taken for the name and for the gospel of their dear Lord and Saviour. But he warned them and showed to them the very solemn truth that the world would not accept this gospel, that they would not hear it and receive it, but condemn it. And it is this gospel in its infancy that was to be preached at the day of Pentecost and go forth then from Jerusalem to the world. And that this truth seems to be applicable to each and every one of the Lord's servants, that they will suffer reproach and persecution. But it may be also this truth. Let us take these ministers, these disciples that should become apostles, that they're a type often of the church here below. And we will not be surprised, dear friends, if we meet with much opposition in respect of the Lord Jesus, his gospel, his doctrines and his truth. What a mercy it is to be steadfast and to have that faith, God-given faith, to hold to Jesus, to hold to the scriptures, and to be that remnant through grace that shall come forth, and that they shall live to see and to behold that it is the Lord Jesus that will uphold them and keep them even unto the end, is the great mercy. May the Lord give us grace to suffer for his name's sake, so the world here would reject him and thought that they would please God in doing so. How often that is today, isn't it? In much of religion today. And of course we know that Satan has got the biggest congregation, hasn't he? And it's those religions, dear friends, the very words of our text. The Holy Spirit and the Comforter isn't in real religion today. And I think that these words of our text are indeed a great mercy. And the whole of the gospel and the whole of our salvation and the power of it, dear friends, is just shown in this one word. And this one word here we can take and show that it has been that word that has gone forth through every generation of time and has fulfilled and accomplished its purpose through God the Father, through the Son, to his people. And that it shall be this seventh verse here, the work and the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. This is real religion dear friends, let us lay hold upon it. It's God-given. It comes by power and of the Spirit, real religion. So just a few thoughts in respect of this word of our text. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Does the Lord come to us week by week and tell us the truth, dear friends? I'm going to, yes, reveal the truth that he's showing to the disciples, but does he come and show us the truth, dear friends? Do we hear it? Do we receive it, dear friends? Is it that is sealed in our hearts, dear friends? The truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through spirit and through power, dear friends? It wants to be prayed for. It's that thing most needful to us as we journey forth here below to know the blessings that are found in this 7th verse of this 16th chapter of John. We have everything we need here for salvation, heaven and glory, dear friends. Everything. These words here will accomplish great things. And where are those great things accomplished? They're through Jesus and his cross, and they're accomplished in the souls of his people. Is the wonderful mercy. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Well, it may be a question. The truth is preached and proclaimed here each and every week, you see, as the Lord will. Oh, may this truth be found, dear friends, through the Spirit, embedded, as it were, into our souls. Something, dear friends, that we can lay hold upon, something that we can embrace by faith, and something that will uphold and support us and strengthen us all our journey through. It really is a full and free salvation in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a salvation unto the uttermost. Oh, this life here below, dear friends, isn't the end of this salvation. Here, no, it's unto the uttermost. And as Paul indicates, it is to everlasting life. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, the Lord Jesus is the truth, isn't he? The way, the truth, and the life. And he came to bear testimony to the truth. He came and bore testimony to everything that was spoken of him by Moses and the prophets, and remember the order of worship that Moses gave to the children of Israel, and the offerings, the sacrifices, the altar, the priesthood, dear friends, and also we have the wonderful truth of the ark, the mercy seat, dear friends, all his special and glorious truths referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not forgetting, dear friends, the offerings, the morning, the evening offerings. Day by day, Jesus was set forth and in worship. And it was in types and shadows, but it was clear. Abel saw and believed the truth, dear friends, and it came by spirit here. The words of our text, the Comforter, the Spirit, not in the glory that we have it today through the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was first opened up and revealed in such a glorious manner at Pentecost. But you see, it was at that Abel looked to by his faith. Even that offering that he made and that sacrifice that was made, and his eye of faith was upon the promise of the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And that was accounted unto him for his righteousness, is the wonderful truth. And so it has been through every generation of time. Yes, those saints of old, all blessed, dear friends, through spirit and power. Oh, they were brought to feel their need, dear friends, of salvation. And their salvation, by faith, they looked to the promise of him that should come. And oh, that is the mercy, you see. But here, Jesus came and fulfilled all those types and shadows, and all that the prophet spake of him, he came and fulfilled. And so he is the faithful witness. He came and bore testimony in his preaching, in his miracles, dear friends, and in the blessedness of his person, you see. He came and bore testimony of him that should come, the sent one, the Messiah, in the midst of them. And so here, this wonderful truth, nevertheless I tell you the truth, and it is Jesus. And all that he spake, all that he preached, all that he did was all in truth, dear friends. And the Lord Jesus is truth. And I just go to a word just to, I don't want to dwell on this too long, but there's a wonderful truth, and it is a mercy to know this for ourselves in a personal way. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus is the truth. And the question is here, nevertheless I tell you the truth. Jesus is the truth. May the Lord open each of our hearts to hear and to receive the truth. And dear friends, as we gather together in his name, but as we take up his word, this is the truth. Remembering that the Spirit of the Lord spake through holy men of old time and gave us these wondrous scriptures which bear testimony to the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ in all the scriptures is the wonderful word. Dear friends, value it, because it comes in to such sinners as we were. That is the truth, isn't it? That we should be those accounted, dear friends, to hear and to receive this truth and be blessed by it is the most wondrous truth, dear friends. Because Jacob was no better than Esau, but he was loved, you see, and he heard and received the truth, as it was in Jesus, that in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And it was inside of that family of seed of Jacob, you see. Oh, this is the truth here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. May it be our portion, dear friends. May we value this truth, this gospel that is preached today. May we have a love for it, a desire for it. And may we know what it is, dear friends, never to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, because of this word here. I tell you the truth, it is preached, dear friends. And let us come to the Lord's house, because he may have a word for thy soul, you see. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. This word expedient, it means that it is profitable for you. And this word, not only for the disciples of the Lord Jesus, but it is for all of his disciples in every generation of time, all of his people, this word. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now, why Jesus is speaking these words is because they again began to sorrow, as they did a little earlier at the close of the 13th chapter. And the Lord set before them heaven and glory following that. Dear friends, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, here we have this truth here. It is expedient it is expedient for you that I go away. It is expedient, it is profitable for you. And really and truly it is what is found in the going away of the Lord Jesus. And it does, dear friends, mean truly, that he should lay down his life for his people. It is expedient for you that I go away. But I just want to mention a word here, dear friends. The Lord Jesus knew that time and hour when he would depart. Now, in the 13th chapter in the first verse, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. Dear friends, this is a truth that belongs to all of us, but we don't know the hour. But we shall depart out of this world unless the Lord come first. And it's a solemn thought, isn't it? We shall depart. And there's no age limit on these things, dear friends. Whether we're aged or young, that time is fixed. It has been settled, it has been ordained before time began, that there is a time to be born and a time to die. And dear friends, may we be able to consider this truth in our hearts for ourselves, because of the importance of these truths that I'm, if the Lord will help me, to open them up a little bit, because we want to be found inside of these truths here, dear friends. And we want the seal of the blessing in our souls before we depart this earthly scene. May this word bring us earnestly to the throne of grace and to sue for mercy, dear friends, that the Lord would be pleased to appear for us and teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is the wisdom, to apply our hearts to these truths here. May the Lord make us ready. May the Lord prepare us for himself, you see. And here is the wonderful truth then. It is expedient for you that I go away. For you, dear friends, Jesus, he was going forth, yes. He was going to go forth first to Gethsemane, then to the cross at Calvary. And he knew, dear friends, what was before him. But when he went forth, dear friends, to Gethsemane and the cross, one thing, dear friends, is the fact that he is following in his heavenly Father's will in respect of the work that he gave him to do. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And his work, dear friends, was that he should provide a wonderful, full and free salvation for everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him before time began in covenant, you see, and where the church was given to the most glorious second person in the Trinity of persons, into the hands of a mediator, one that should come between, for God knew that man would sin and fall, and it was a great fall. And now Jesus, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, is now here, dear friends, is ready to go forth to the work. And all those whom his heavenly Father gave to him to become their mediator, to be found in their room, place and stead upon the cross at Calvary. It is expedient for you that I go away. Dear friends, isn't this a word here, expedient for you? Does Jesus love thy soul? It is expedient for you. Does Jesus love thy soul because his heavenly Father loved thee and he gave thee to him? This is the truth, I think, here. It is expedient for you. You see, Jesus came because he had a love for thee, for thy person, for thy soul, you see, is the truth. And so he went forth, and there was a joy that was before him, wasn't there? Oh, there was a joy that was before him, not only the work that his heavenly Father gave him to do, but everyone whom he would lay down his life for at Calvary. Oh, there was a joy. Isn't it here that he spake in another place, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, expedient for you. As I said, we want to know something about these words, dear friends. I think they're most precious because they belong to the most vilest sinners, dear friends, the blackest sinners. That is the truth of this word. Expedient for you is the wonderful truth. And if we see the dear Lord hung forth there upon the cross at Calvary, you know it was there, dear friends, that he hung and suffered for his people. And he grappled with all the powers of darkness, dear friends, upon the cross. All the powers of darkness. Where were all those powers of darkness? They were in our souls, dear friends. That is where the powers of darkness are. And Jesus suffered, he grappled of all the evil and the wretched lives that we lived and the evil in our hearts by nature. Oh, the fallen nature. And Satan dwelt within us, and it was manifested to destroy his works, and he did it, dear friends, through sufferings upon the cross, in agonies upon the cross, and it was for sinners, you see. Expedient for you that I go away. Is there something personal here, dear friends? Well, It's the vilest sinner out of hell. If they live to feel their need, dear friend, this is the place. The cross of Jesus, no other place, dear friends, no other mercy, no other refuge for sinners. So here, Jesus undertook the cause and the interest of his people at Calvary, hung and suffered there upon the cross. And his visage was more marred than any man's. Oh, we cannot come into that, can we? More marred than any man's. Hardly recognizable, you see. Hung and suffered there a lingering death is the truth. And dear friends, also, all his bones were out of joint. Disconnected, not broken, but disconnected. Can we see a suffering Saviour, dear friends? And it says, it is expedient for you that I go away, that he hung and suffered there for sinners. Expedient for you. And, dear friends, what more can be found here? The justice of God, dear friends, in respect of all sin, his wrath, you see, in respect of all sin. Isn't that, dear friends, that condemn thee to a never-ending eternity in hell? And in damnation, it is all here, dear friends. That is what we were deserving of. But dear friends, Jesus, isn't he that one, dear friends, that came and satisfied divine justice? Isn't he one, dear friend? This is my dearly beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Remember the love of God to thy soul. And see, dear friends, and account it to the sufferings of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, that condemned thee had to be put away, dear friends. And it had to be put away lawfully and properly. And it was through Jesus upon the cross. And Jesus suffered in respect of all thy sins. It was made sin for us who knew no sin, knew no sin. Oh, this perfect, this pure, this holy man, dear friends. Oh, doesn't it attach something more, dear friends, to his sufferings and death? This pure, perfect and holy man that came to suffer for sin, dear friends, the sin that was in us and the sin that condemned us to an eternity in damnation. Dear friends, yes, he grappled with the darkness, with all the evil and the wretchedness that was in us. And Satan, oh, he was that one, dear friends, that dwelt within. And the Lord, isn't he that one, dear friends, that he was manifested to destroy his works? Yes, he was that one, dear friends, that was put from his people, dethroned him, because that is where he is by nature. He is in us. He dethroned him. And he removed, dear friends, the curse of that broken law that belonged to us, dear friends. The Lord honoured it, made it honourable, fulfilled it for and on our part to that extent that we'd never broken it, but kept it perfectly. It was through his sufferings and death at Calvary. And then, dear friends, we have another truth which we may just consider, and that hell that was deserving to us, Jesus endured the likeness of that hell that we should never come into the experience of it. And it's a very solemn thought, that, dear friends, a very solemn thought. And then the Lord Jesus, yes, he weaned us, he weaned his church from this world and from all the evil of their hearts, is the wonderful truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, and it is expedient for you that I go away, that I produce thy soul accepted before God the Father. It is expedient for you that in the merits of my life and the merits of my person and the merits of my sufferings and the merits of my death, that I will produce for thy soul a glorious robe of righteousness to be seen and beheld by God the Father and accepted by him, is the wonderful truth. And to see, to be seen and behold thee as he would see and behold his dearly beloved Son, is the wonderful truth. And it is expedient for you that I go away. Let this be personal, dear friends. Expedient for you. It was proper, dear friends. And he went lovingly and voluntarily to the cross. You see, this is the word of this truth. It is expedient for you. You see, what Jesus has done for us, we could never do for ourselves. An undone sinner, dear friends, no, we could never do ourselves. But Jesus came. And he suffered in our room and place. And what we deserved, dear friends, we were set free from everything. And Jesus suffered in his own body upon the tree. And when he cried, "It is finished," the work was done. It is expedient for you that I go away. This is the wonderful truth then of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it here that the church can glory It's what Christ has done alone for them. And it's a wonderful truth to have the testimony of Christ and his cross in our poor souls, and to know that through his cross there is pardoning, love and mercy, forgiveness for all our sins and iniquities. Oh, expedient for you. You see, a pardoned sinner, forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound, says one of the hymn writers. And it is a joyful sound, dear friends. It is expedient for you that I go away. It was expedient for the Lord that he should go away to cover all the sins of the 500 pence debtor, that woman. It was expedient for you that I go away for the sins of the woman of Samaria, and then also of the legion and all those devils that were in him. Expedient. And dear friends, I've named three, but it's everyone, dear friends, whom his heavenly Father gave to him, a remnant through grace to the end of time. And the Lord knows every one of them, and they're all their names are written in heaven. And if their names are written in heaven, it will appear, dear friends, in time, in our life and in our experience. And he will come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They will come. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me, the church. This is the truth. It is expedient for you. Not one of them should be left, and not one of them should perish. Everyone will be accounted for. Is the wonderful mercy. Now this is the truth. Are we on our knees, dear friends? Are we begging? Are we suing for mercy? Are we craving for that living witness that we belong to him, that he came for us, that he will be pleased to come and own us through his cross, pardon our sins, bring our souls into gospel liberty, bring us into all the blessings and the promises and the favours of a God in covenant with his people. You see, is the truth. I know this wonderful truth. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. This is real religion. The Comforter, it is a wonderful word, dear friends. If the Lord, through his Spirit, will be pleased to come and convince and convict us of our sins and iniquities, this is all found here in this seventh verse. The Comforter will not come unto you. Think of it, dear friends. There will be no gospel, no salvation, no blessings, no promises, no heaven, no glory, nothing, absolutely nothing, without the Comforter. And without the Comforter come into our poor souls and reveal and manifest all the glorious truths of Jesus and his cross and the full salvation that he came to give is the most glorious truth. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, dear friends, is that medium whereby all these glorious truths and blessings are revealed to sinners, the forgiveness of sins. And it will be. And that, dear friends, that religion is empty today without this power of the comfort of and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And dear friends, seek for nothing else. It is through Spirit and power that the Lord will be pleased to come and draw near to his people. And when he is come, he says he will reprove the world of sin. And in the margin it says, to convince. May the Lord be pleased to appear, convince and convict us of our sins and iniquities. Lay us low, dear friends. Bring us to feel and to know how black we are by nature, how far we are, and how alien and enemies we are to God, to grace and to goodness. But oh, to show not only that we're black, but comely through Jesus, comely through him. The Comforter will not come unto you. And dear friends, we cannot, when the Comforter, when we have been brought to see, it is expedient for you that I go away. If we have the testimony and the witness of Jesus in our poor souls, dear friends, we cannot continue without the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the poor sinner has been laid low, broken up, humbled, brought to nothing. Helplessness, weakness, insufficiency is the wonderful truth. And it's the place, dear friends, that we pray to be kept there, that we will never rise up within ourselves and be something that we're not. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. We want to feel, dear friends, this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts and in our lives today, working in us and upon us, that new man, that new creature in Christ Jesus, that new life in him, brought into a new and a living way, blessed with a free access unto God the Father, through Jesus, through his flesh. The poor sinner, dear friends, can commune and communicate with his heavenly Father is the most wonderful and glorious truth of the gospel. You see, it's that gracious work of reconciliation that Jesus did and accomplished for his people that we are now his adopted sons and daughters. There's nothing more glorious than that. And the seal of it, we want to know. The Spirit itself will seal it upon our spirit that we are the children of God. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. We will never have any helps in the way, dear friends. We'll never have any comfort in our afflictions and our trials here below, dear friends. If the Comforter not come to us, no. The Comforter, and you know, when Jesus says the Comforter will not come unto you, Jesus is the Comforter, isn't he? Let us glory in the Father, Son, and Spirit, in the whole order of it in respect of our salvation, dear friends, is the wonderful truth. The three one God may be a mystery, but let faith embrace it. We cannot do anything without Jesus, dear friends, nothing at all. We need him, his Spirit and power to come upon us, to move us to do anything that is right and good before him. To keep us, dear friends, in that right spirit, that spirit, dear friends, of that new man of grace in the heart is the witness. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. How could we continue, dear friends, without the Comforter? And Jesus doesn't leave us with anyone less than himself. Never think that the Comforter is inferior to Father and Son, dear friends, because no. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, dear friends. It brings Christ into the soul. It brings his love into the soul. It brings his word into the soul. This is the Comforter. It brings us into union, communion with him. It does, dear friends. And it brings us into his promises that he has laid up for them that love him. The promises of heaven and of glory, dear friends. And we need them as we journey forth. He says, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And this is the life, dear friends, that we now live by faith upon him. It's a life through the Spirit, dear friends. It's a life consecrated, separated, sanctified. A life set apart. A people set apart to be a people unto God, his peculiar and his choice people. They're a people raised up above every other people of the world, every other nation of the world. This people, God's people, are raised up above every other people of the world. Dear friends, they do not belong to this world. We live here and abide here, dear friend, but it is not our rest. It is polluted. But this world, dear friends, is the absolute union, communion of God and his children, his family together, you see. And they're raised up, a peculiar and a choice people unto him. I just think of a word, and it's a precious word, if I can just find it. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then this truth, dear friends, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. There is no people like God's people, dear friends. And where was it that they were brought to God, that they should behold the smilings of his face upon them, his favour, his mercy? It is through Jesus and his cross. I will send him unto you. And how that today, as we worship, I will send him unto you. Our worship would be empty and vain without, dear friends, this glorious promise and blessing of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he comes and speaks to us through the gospel. It's with spirit and with power. May the Lord be pleased to apply it to us. I often think of those two on the Emmaus Road. They needed comfort. And Jesus, remember that he was then a risen Saviour. And he came to them and he comforted them. And dear friends, when Jesus will be pleased to come and comfort his people, it's no less a person than his glorious self, dear friends. He's so very near to his people. He loves them so dearly, dear friends. And the Comforter will bring the poor soul into the... See how those two on the Emmaus Road, their heart burned within them, you see. The glorious truths, how that he was one in the preaching of the word and speaking of and bearing testimony to all that was spoken of him in the scriptures. And he drew their hearts to him, didn't he? They were drawn to him, dear friend. Does the Lord draw our hearts to him through the word, through the ministry, through the preaching, through the gospel, through the scriptures, you see? May the Lord be pleased to reveal and manifest himself to us. I will send him unto you. And I know that there are quite a few thoughts here, but we shall have to begin to close. We are journeying forth, dear friends, and our way and path, it isn't a smooth path. It isn't a straight path, and it isn't a comfortable path. But this is the wonderful truth here. I will send him unto you. And how that the Lord, the Spirit, has been our comfort, our peace, dear friends, in the times of trouble and trials and difficulty here below. He does comfort his people. He does lift them up, dear friends. He does draw near to them. Be still and know that I am God. You know, he is with and near to his people in all their afflictions. He is afflicted and he is touched with the feeling of their infirmities. And how that he does visit and draw near to his poor people. He is the only comfort of our poor souls as we journey forth here below. He is. And he said, I will send him unto you. And we need him, dear friends, in every part of our lives. We need him, dear friends, that he would come and lead us and direct us all our journey through, dear friends. We do need him to lead us and to direct us, that we're not left to ourselves and that we're left to try and form our own way, dear friends, through this wilderness here below. We need Jesus to lead us and to guide us. We need him, dear friends, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to lead us and to teach us into that way that he will have us to go. Never trust in ourselves, dear friends, and rely upon our own hearts, dear friends. Never, you see, Jesus only. And when we come to dear friends, to a crossroads, come here. I will send him unto you. If we're diligent, dear friends, and if we're sincere in heart and mind, and we want the Lord to lead us and to direct us in all our paths here below, he will teach us. It may be through the ministry or the word, but here he is. Here the Lord is, and he will come. And we need to wait upon him. We need grace in our hearts to wait upon him. One of the chief blessings is that the Lord will keep and preserve us from our own selves and from our own hearts by nature. They're still deceitful and desperately wicked. They will still turn aside, dear friends. We need the Lord. And then I will send him unto you. We're journeying to an end. And we need the Lord to uphold us and to keep us each and every day. That he will be our stay. That he will be our keeper. And I pray this every morning, that the Lord will be pleased to lead us through each day, that he will be pleased to keep us, that we are of the family of his grace, and that he will be pleased to enlighten and to bring us into the truth and the knowledge that we are indeed those now set free by and through grace to serve him and to honour him in all our way and path here below, and asking the Lord that he will be pleased to appear in every part and aspect of our lives to serve him each and every day and help us to walk after the new man of grace. That new man of grace will follow Jesus. I will send him unto you, and we will need him to bring us to our journey's end, dear friends. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I just close with this word. But I began, Jesus, that time was expedient that he should go away. And that time, dear friends, is fixed for us. And I thought of the words that are a blessing to the Lord's people. He says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I may just speak a little later on today in respect of some of these things. But you know, here is a wondrous truth. We must remember that through the cross and through this word here, Jesus is bringing us to himself. He says, I will send him unto you. We will never come, dear friends, without the comfort of the Holy Spirit. No, we will never. The Lord's people are poor, and they have doubts and they have fears, dear friends. And yes, I know that fear may be much to tremble over, but I will send him unto you. You see, if Jesus comes, oh, dear friends, what a difference that is. What a blessing it is. Just go to Psalm 37, it just comes to mind. But it is a truth. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And where will that peace come? I will send him unto you through his Spirit, dear friends. May the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £610, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there will be special services tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 6:15, when Mr. Pocock is expected to preach, and collections will be taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And God willing, Mr. Ince will preach again next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 717. Brethren, those who come to bliss, come through sore temptations. May we all, remembering this, pray for faith and patience. Hymn 717.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.